Blog Talk Radio.
All right, we are back. We are back. And so this is a good one. And so you are still tuned in to Transparency, the Raw Truth. And we're talking about things that we have went through, or we know of people that struggle day to day, or things that we used to or have went through. And so we thank you all for tuning in, where we have our great guests. We have Brian Jamal, St. James, and Cleveland P. Jones. And so in saying that, let me see here. Okay. All right. And so in saying that, we're going to click everybody back on. We're going to do that. And this is our second round. This is part two. I know y'all enjoyed the music that was played, that was heard. And I'm telling you, it is indeed some hot music, y'all. Very awesome music. And so right now, I'm clicking on y'all mics, and we're back. This is the last part of this Transparency, the Raw Truth. This is part four. And so, y'all there? I got y'all mics. So,
Yes.
Okay. I'm here.
Okay.
Yep, I'm here.
So, okay. So, what did I do? Okay. So, I'm going to go ahead in this second part. Okay. I want to ask you, Brian, you said back in the day, you know, you had the different struggles and stuff and the things about being a womanizer. You was talking about the womanizer. Like, how did you get out of that? Like, what was the breaking point of that thing?
Well, once again, the root of that was rejection. You know, I got my little heart broken. You know, I was in a relationship, you know, with my little girlfriend in high school, and, you know, she was messing with this other little guy, and, you know, that hurt my little heart or whatnot. So the root of that made me say to that, you know, I ain't even finna give another woman that type of power, you know what I'm saying, to hurt me like that.
Yeah.
So from here on out, I'm just smashing and keeping it moving, you know what I'm saying? So,
yeah.
That's what I did. You know, and I ran through a lot of them, and but coming into the deliverance part of it, you know, I encountered loneliness, desperation, you know, a lot of things that I yearned and desired. I had, you know, women, I had sex, I had all of these different things, you know, but I never had you know, real true love. I never really had loyalty from a woman. I never had a woman of God, you know, and being that God was calling me, you know, and he had a call in my life, and I was called to be a great man of God, I was going to have a woman of God by my side. So, you know, it was like, you know, throughout the life lessons and experiences, you know, mentally, you know, it would bother me that I didn't have somebody that I could actually say love me for me, you know, or, you know, was loyal and faithful to me. And then God told me, so, you know, if she's not faithful to me, she's definitely not going to be faithful to you, you know. So he revealed that revelation to me. And as I was dating, because I'm still single now, but as I was dating, you know, I would measure the amount of God or the relationship with God with the women that I date, you know, because, you know, that's what I needed. You know what I mean? I needed that, you know, even though I came from, and don't get me wrong too, I enjoyed all of my sin. You know, let me go ahead and make that clear. I enjoyed all of it. Yes.
All of it.
I did. Yeah, the weed, the alcohol, everything. It was great. But, you know, it was killing me. Of course, the word of God says, you know, it's fun and sin for a season, then it brings forth death. So unknowingly, in my enjoyment, you know, I was killing myself, you know, but God stepped in and saved me. But, you know, neither here nor there, the deliverance from the womanizing came from, you know, the desire and the yearning for a true woman of God to really love me for me, not for me being a singer, not for me, you know, being, you know, a potential meal ticket for success, or not me, you know, being able to please her, or not me, you know, love me for me and love God so we can grow. Yeah.
Wow. You know, you said something, you hit on something, bro, when you said about you loved what you did. Because I used to be hearing them people, you know, back in the day in the church talk about, you know, what they didn't like. Come on now. You know, let's be real. I'm like you, even though a lot of that stuff was bad, but I enjoy being in that type of lifestyle and the thing. I did. I don't know about the next person. Maybe somebody might say, well, you know, I didn't really, you know, get nothing out of it or nothing like that. But I enjoyed all that drinking and getting high and, you know, being in the club and the cabaret. You know, we was there. And, you know, I enjoyed it. But, I mean, at the same token, I really didn't have that joy, I want to say. You know, I could say that, like, it wasn't just like, it was some days where I was kind of miserable, you know. But as far as saying, did I enjoy what I did? I could never sit there and say, oh, I hated what I did. I didn't enjoy it at all. That's a bunch of mess. No, I enjoyed it. I'm telling you, it was like gold. Let's put it that way. That's how I felt about it. Is there anything that you would have done different if you could? What would one of those things be that you would say if you could have turned it around back then? If it was something that, you know, that you could have not done, what would you say that you didn't, that you, you know? Because sometimes we can do and we can enjoy, and then sometimes we can sit back as we get older and say, you know what, if I could have did it differently, I would have did that or did this. Is there anything you would say you would have done differently?
One thing I would have, you know, I would have accepted Christ the first couple of times he was calling me. You know, I would have just went on ahead and surrendered, you know, not after like the 433rd time he called me, but the first two or three. And the first two or three, but aside from that, I'm not even going to lie to you. Because I was an R&B singer and I, you know, did a lot of things, traveled, seen a lot of things, you know, met a lot of people, been with a lot of women, I enjoyed it. I lived like a rock star and I, you know, I wouldn't, other than that, I wouldn't change nothing.
Okay. All right. St. James?
Yes, ma'am.
I'm gonna start thinking. I'll be gentle. Man, we played that song. How many times my cousin said, look, cuz I love that song, but my God, that song went on, boy. I'm telling you, I was going to sleep hearing it in my dream. That's how many times.
Wow.
Hey, we played that song till the wheels went off and then some.
And it'll never be old. That melody would never get old. It's incredible.
No, it won't. Now, with the question I wanted to ask you, St. James, what's one thing that you can say happened maybe back in the day? One thing you can say happened or you've done back in the day that you can say that you really learned from that. You know, that, you know, whatever it was, like, you know, something that you feel you learned from that.
Well, you know, it's funny you asked me. I'm very transparent about my life. Even this music thing doesn't define my personality, my character, or the way I live my life. It's something I happen to do, and I'm talented. I don't really consider myself talented, not so much as gifted. And there's a reason why I say that. I know what I'm gifted in, and music is my talent, and I'm supposed to make sure I do well with my talent and your gifts, ultimately. But your talents, is what I'm giving to the world right now based upon the music and stuff that I'm doing. My gifts are something totally different. What I'm gifted to do is I have a gift of discernment and spiritual insight.
Yeah.
You know, it's almost like I can foresee things before they happen. I prophesy. I just see things. I mean, it don't matter if I'm walking in the goodness and the grace of God in the moment, or if I'm in sin, because the gifts and the callings are without repentance. So it doesn't matter where I'm at in my life. God's gonna use me to do what His will, no matter whether I want to do His will or not. He's gonna still get His way. That's just what I figured.
Yeah.
So with that being said, my gifts as a grown man in the last probably 30 years, since I have not lived in an exclusive monogamous relationship in 30 years, but I've had wives, I've had children, I have had relationships, and this is different because, you know, we are taught as men to find a wife and settle down and do the hokey pokey. I call it the hokey pokey.
Yeah.
I mean, we've been speaking pretty, right? So, Jamal, I know Jamal, brother. Your walk is your walk. I respect it, and I know you steadfast and immovable in the situation. I respect that. I got nothing but love for you. And I also know that, when you think about what a brother does, what each brother or sister in God does in their lives and their walk. Everybody has a unique, separate, individual walk with God. If what your brother's doing, if it offends you, what are you doing? You know how that scripture goes. So as I talk about this, it's not meant to offend someone who has a righteous mindset or walk in which they choose to do. I was a fanatical Christian at 18 years old. I got saved, and I remember marrying the first girl that I was lusting after, because those things in my life had not dissipated just because I got saved. I still had a wee-wee, and I still needed the wee-wee. You know what I'm saying? but the church would tell you that you cannot have sex until you're married. Oh, no. That is a sin. It is impossible. You will not do that in this ministry. So you find somebody who you think God says you my wife. So at 18...
Yeah.
You know, this girl got a little baby, and she's pregnant by somebody else, and I'm in the military now in Fort Hood, Texas. I got saved in Coppers Cove, Texas, Killeen, Texas, man, 18 years old, fresh in the military, man, didn't know nothing. But I gave my life to God, and everything changed for me. But that, growing up as a young black man, when everything in your life visually was not black, every commercial was not a sister, every – pornography was not black women wasn't really glorified in pornography in the 80s and 90s. I mean, early 80s and stuff, mid 80s. So you think all of our imagery were white women, blonde, different colors, hues. You were raised to see that as the epitome of beauty. So growing up, you gravitate towards what you visually instinctively see. And I had a lustful spirit as a young kid. My uncle used to keep magazines in my grandmother's bathroom. You know, you just curious. I see a stack of magazines up there. I'm looking like, what is that? You know, I go up there and grab a few. And from that point on, my porn addiction was strong from 18 to probably 26. So naturally, I'm going to go through a whole bunch of problems trying to figure out my identity and what, you know, and not be desensitized to intimacy, because that's what porn does. It typically, addiction to porn will desensitize your ability to intimacy with a woman. So with that being said, all that happened to me. I married the first chick that I met because I wanted sex, but I used it. I thought it was like, God told me this is my wife. No, God ain't told you nothing at 18. Sit down somewhere and learn the word.
Yeah.
So, 18, you know what I'm saying? So from 18, my first marriage was 18. It was ridiculous. And a year later, I found out she was nuttier than a fruitcake. And I had problems too. I was nutty too. We was 18 years old trying to figure it out, man. She had two kids that weren't mine. And it was just a mess. Needless to say, I was delivered from it. We got an annulment. It was amazing. In Texas, you can still get annulments. So it was quickly dissolved. But from that point forward, walking in Christ, I was taught, you know, you end up being more in bondage in certain levels of ministry or certain people's ministry if you're not really led the right way. You know, you get in these situations where I got married too early. And so from probably 18 to 26, I probably had 3 marriages under my belt before I was 30, thinking that I had to get married in order to obey God, in order to have sex, because I still had the desire. I mean, I was better with it. I got stronger with what I was going through, and I figured out, I thought it was love. I mean, it's messy. So from 32 on, I made a vow to myself that I was not going to make the ultimate commitment traditionally until I knew that I was ready to do it. And you see, a lot of men are guilted into major relationships, man, because she loves you. She gives you have kids with her, or y'all intimate, and all of a sudden, you know, you're handcuffed to her emotional experiences. I love him. I gave him my body. I'm pregnant now, and he's supposed to stop everything he's doing, drop everything for me. Is that right? I mean, we've been taught that it was. Is it theoretically right? If the man is fighting in his spirit, in his soul, in his heart, because he really don't want to do it, but because he's guilty, oh, you're a deadbeat dad if you don't show up with a kid. If you leave her hanging pregnant, now you're not a good guy. If you stay with her, even though she's crazy and all get out and got issues, daddy issues, unresolved issues, are you? What kind of man are you? You know, those things guilt you into staying with somebody past expiration date. I figured I wasn't going to do that. So I'm 52 years old. I have 6 children by 6 different women. I'm keeping it out there because I got nothing to hide. Everything was lesson for me. But I'm also being in a world in the music industry and traveling all over the world doing it. It's a lonely existence when you can't find people to accept you for what you choose to, your gift or your talent is, so to speak. Your talent and gifts are. And you find yourself kind of trying to going in this circle, trying to find that, like you were talking about, Jamal, about the love, you know, looking for love in all the wrong places, basically. So I've been there, done that. So from 32 to now, I have not had an exclusive, monogamous, traditional relationship with anybody, even though I've had many non-traditional relationships. It's amazing. It's an amazing feat in reality. I have no guilt conscience about it. I made my peace with God, and I said that when I'm ready to do that again, it'll be my choice. And just like a woman can dictate when she wants to have sex and give her body and herself to a man, why can't a man choose to decide when he gives up his right to do what he wants to do and be with who he wants to be? We have the same rights as a woman to say, here, I'm giving myself to you, yes or no. I'll have your children. I'll give you my hand in marriage, and I'll love you forever. Men have the same right to say no to being told that they have to give it up. That's the first thing we're taught. You got to settle down. You got to be with one woman. You got to do this with one woman, and you're a player. You're a dog. I mean, I think that's unfair. You don't know what I've been through to get to a place where I don't want to do it no more. Who are you?
Yeah.
That's between me and my conscience and God. So that's where I'm at. So I'll just wanted to kind of share that we cannot allow other people's expectations to dictate our happiness, man. A lot of guys are out here miserable with the woman they chose to marry, and they're cheating and sneaking on the side, doing a bunch of stuff, and all they do is get caught up, and now they're victims. The people around them are victims, and they get hashtag me too.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. You're right about that. I know some guys right now, you know, are in relationships and marriages and stuff, and it's like they feel like they're so trapped. It just, you know, it's like it's no way out, just like what you were saying. You know, it's a lot of men that are going through that are in marriages and stuff, and a lot of them have said, you know, I got married because my drive of sex was high, and you know, I had to do something. So to not be out here fornicating, I just went on and got married to this sister, and they feel like, they say, you know, it's the worst nightmare that they could ever be in because they really didn't love her. And then now the sex done played out. She don't want to do nothing, hardly. Now their hormones going on, and so now it's creeping. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
They're going out,
right.
creeping, and all of this stuff. So I understand what you're saying because that stuff is real, and it's going on now. You know, especially in the church. Especially, you know,
absolutely.
In the church.
Especially.
Yes.
Yep.
Even with pastors, leaders.
Exactly. You got to think about it. If Catholic priests and nuns are going through this kind of like sexual, you know, all this drama and stuff with that of those issues, trying to be celibate and all that stuff, and what do you think hot-blooded sexual people like African American in gospel culture, the culture of our type of spirituality. We know what I'm talking about. It's not just, you know, what's your denomination. It's the, there's the black church and there's the white church. That's just what it is. Let's call it what it is. I mean, you can intertwine and mix it in, but for the most part, there's certain gospel rules and etiquette and expectations that go on in black churches that would never happen in white churches and vice versa. So for me, you know, we do not change just because we get saved. We change, our life changes, but our nature doesn't change. We have to change our nature. That's the sinful nature. It never changes. We die in sin. We die daily. You have to.
Yeah.
And that's the hardest part for men, to die daily. Who wants to die every day? It's not Groundhog Day.
Wow.
That's the reality of how we think.
That's true. You're right about that. Now, you know, I used to look at my father crazy when he used to talk about dying from this flesh day by day, and I used to look at him cross-eyed. Like, what is you talking about? Dying. I'm crucial. I'm dying day by day. How I'm going to do that with my, what is you saying? You know, I didn't understand that until I got older, because he always said, we got to kill this flesh. We got to crucify this flesh. And he would say that, and I would just think like, wow, you know, I didn't get it. You know, I really didn't get it, because I felt like it cannot happen. You know, I felt like I could not stop drinking, or I couldn't stop being violent, you know, that it was crazy, you know. And then he's steady saying, you got to do this and you got to do that. And that was, and that's one of the things that I think people struggle with today, that I can't. We want the I do. But that can't is a bad word. You can't do this, or you're not supposed to do this. And it's like, wow, I feel like I'm in the nursery rhyme here, you know. Yeah. So... what was that? That sound like alienation.
I got like this little Bluetooth pager thing. It's a speaker, actually. It was kind of, it might have been, could have been Donald Trump and the FBI listening on our conversation. Black people ain't supposed to talk about
it's,
such
all things. I know, it sounded like an alien was coming on board.
Oh, good.
Nah, but you know, but that is something. It's I don't know. You know, Brian, you want to say something concerning this, what we saying?
I'm just enjoying it, man. I'm just taking it in, you know. Like I say, you know, like the brother said, I pick up that prophetic spirit on it. You know what I'm saying? I hope we get on, we get a word tonight before we get off. You know what I'm saying? I'm in agreement. You know what I mean? I'm in agreement. You know, transparency, you know, it has so many levels and depths to it. You know what I mean? And like the man of God was saying, you know, lust is something that, you know, was planted in my life at birth. You know, my mother was, you know, she was raped at the age of 12.
Oh,
you know
wow.
I mean? So, yeah.
Wow.
I was conceived into this world. Yeah, that's how I was conceived. So that was a generational thing that the enemy planted, but, you know, God intervened and changed and turned it around. So, and I'm single now, man. I struggle with, you know, I mean, I have to consistently fast and pray. You know, I tell God a lot, hey, please, hurry, you know, send her now, you know, because it's hard. It's hard, man, you know. And then, you know, he made it to where, you know, I couldn't even, you know, I had a problem with masturbation so bad to where God made it to where I couldn't even masturbate no more.
One day
I tried to masturbate. One day I tried to masturbate and I almost had a heart attack. I'm so sorry.
In Jesus' name.
Oh, God. No, this is not to make light of this honesty. This is amazing. This is awesome.
I almost
I'm over here crying. Oh, my God. It's the way you said it, Brian. You said, I tried to manifest now. And when I tried to do it, you said I almost had a heart attack. And I'm like, oh, my God. Jesus.
I was trying not to love myself. I was trying so hard not to laugh. It was hard because you were so crazy and people all the time. And you have to be careful what you ask for, because even midst of me doing this, I would feel so bad afterwards. I would say, God, help me. And see, when I said help me, I didn't know exactly how he was going to help me. So the last time I did it, you know, I almost had a heart attack. Like my heart,
oh my God! Are you being serious?
Somebody washing dishes or something?
Yeah, I'm
somebody washing.
And from there.
Oh, I'm totally quiet and listening in.
Wow. That's deep.
Yeah.
You know, I can't even imagine that. You know, like, wow. You know, somebody say that they tried to do that and almost had a heart attack. Like, that's some serious stuff there.
But that was
like, that's really real.
That's
deep.
You know what I'm saying?
That's some transparency for sure.
That's some transparency. Listen here, I am blessed by this conversation.
Yeah, yeah. Because that will let people know. I mean, you came transparent with that. There's people around the world that's probably struggling with that. That will need to, you know, that needs to hear this. You know, because I know a lot of brothers. I can say from you know, dealing with having a lot of male friends and male, you know, that I know. A lot of them say they enjoy this and they can't see, you know, not doing this, or they feel like they can't stop. Well, here it is. Somebody is saying, well, hey, brother, I didn't think I could stop either, but guess what? This went down and this almost happened to me. So now I can't do that, you know, and the person hear that and it's like, wow, really? You know,
I guess
so that's definitely
perspective on that.
Huh?
I guess this is Cleveland. I guess my and it's not a confusion. First of all, I commend you, Brother Brian. I guess in my vision from where I am, because I have not had a ton of women. That has not been my life. I have not been extremely big on church. I grew up in it. I learned to disassociate myself from things that I felt were religiously placing me into bondage. And this is how I viewed it. I felt like, I think religion is beautiful, so I respect everybody's walk and your journey. That's yours. But for me, I felt like I was not free. I felt like I was absolutely not free, that I was listening to a man's doctrine. I was listening to what someone said, that this is what God said. And I'm thinking, what did God really say? So, and I do use my spirit of intuition. So I didn't really get too soaked in to hearing. Like, again, I will listen to you. But I also say, okay, Cleveland, how does this apply to you, and does this really work for you? Don't take this experience just because Brian did this thing or because St. James or Angel did this. I always say, okay, Cleveland, what is your experience and how does this work for you? Like in regards to masturbation, I mean, I know this is a transparent thing, and typically this is very taboo to talk about, but I love the fact that this is a forum that we can speak openly and honestly about it. I cannot see. In my mind, like when I was younger, I would say, oh, you know, it was the whole thing. Of course, church, I got to definitely say church. Church made me feel instantly guilty about even touching myself, even thinking of that type of thing. So for a long time, when I listen to your story, St. James, I listen to your story, Brian, I'm not saying I'm the baby in the group, but I am like, woo, boy, I really have not lived. I have a long way to go. That is no shade. Please understand me.
It's all good, bro.
Please understand this. Because I'm like, you know, I almost got engaged. I don't have any kids. I'm single and happy about it. Like, I like it. I realized, because I literally was, as I had spoken to Angel before in a prior conversation, I was with someone, and I loved her, and we were together for, well, let's just say, a really 3 years, but
it lasted in my brain for at least 12 to 13 years. So I emotionally was attached to one that I could not release. So that did not get, so I didn't open myself to anybody else because I had this belief and dream that one day this is going to happen and this is going to be the love of my life and we're going to get married, have children, and make this thing happen. And that did not happen. And literally as of this year, I say even more so a couple of months ago, just this recent, I decided to finally release it and let it go. And like when I say really let it go, I really did release it and say, okay, Cleve, you have to open yourself. You got to open the portals to many other beautiful things that happen to you. And if you, and the only way you're going to be able to do this is to release the mess or the thing that you, your stronghold. This has been your stronghold.
Right.
And I held on to that thing for so long, believing because I, and also, and the reason why I held on so long is because I did not understand, and still this day, I'm still not that comfortable with it. So this is, again, very transparent. I don't understand how to transition from sex partner to sex partner to sex partner to sex partner. My brain doesn't function like that. I'm a different type of guy. We all men, but my mind doesn't think like, oh my God, I gotta go get me something. I don't know. Maybe I got skipped over on that part. So, I did. I think I got skipped over. You know, I see, like, I have a lot more contentment with myself and being with me. And like I was saying earlier about, I feel like there's a wholeness that the Creator is using for it, is you know, pruning me to be in the future. I do believe that love is awaiting me, but it's in the due season, not right now. I stop questioning and saying, okay, God, what's going on? I don't have that urgency to need to feel like I got to be a part of this thing or that thing. I am individually Cleveland C. Jones. I was created wonderfully by God, as all of us were.
Yeah.
And I don't have that I must be like this thing. Or not. And because as I grew older, even more transparent, I grew up with an absolute, and this is my truth, with an absolute disdain, or how would I say, more of a closed way of thinking when it comes to being around other black men. That was a big thing for me. Everybody was out to prove how big this was. Everybody was out to prove how much they had gotten, how many women they'd had. I didn't have those stories, and so I didn't want to be the guy who sit here and lied and say that he hadn't been through many and had really had none. I didn't want to be that guy. So I decided to say, So I really gravitated more to my white counterparts, honestly, because it that really typically wasn't the conversation. But again, remember, this is environmental. This is where I grew up and how I grew up. So this is not having to do with your people's journey. I just didn't see life like most people did. But and that's why, again, even when it comes to talking about God, you know, I feel like my name is Cleveland. I believe there is something bigger than me. There's God, and then that's enough. I don't put myself – I was so 100%, like you said, when you were 18 years old, St. James, you were, you know, devout Christian, and I was too. I was too, so much to the point where I condemned my own mother several times and made her feel lesser than because I was like, you know, how dare you go out and sleep with her or do whatever, and because I wasn't, because I was at that time a virgin. I was young. At the place where my mind was like, but I can also tell you this. When that conversation came about to have that open, honest, devout Christian conversation with my mother, I was led to that conversation by a white male counterpart who said to me that I needed to be away from my mother because she is not of God and she is filthy and I need to be away from her. So I was an impressionable young mind in Christ and had this idea that, okay, well, you know what? I know she's my mother. I love her. No matter how we've been through the thick and thin of it all, she's still not good enough in Christ-like, so I need to release her out of my system because she's going to be right. So this is how it's about. You become when you like, well, you know, if God is saying I must stand forth and tell everybody what this is about. Sometimes God didn't call you to say nothing. Sometimes you just sit there and go down. And listen, this is now again. Remember what I said earlier about pointing one thing, but you got three pointing back at you? Because even though I might not have done the things that my mother had done or whatever it could be, I was trying to figure out, since when did I become so good or so much better that I could judge her? When did that ever happen? Maybe I didn't have to have her journey because her journey was hers, but how dare I come to a place where I felt so empowered and so noble in Christ that I could go and say this? And this is another thing. We use that, too, in Christ, and this is no shame. It's nonsense. We use that too because I remember being approached by. I'm gonna go here and we can go left and right, whatever you want to go with it. I remember living in Boston. I didn't like Boston, still don't. I still, but I go there to work every blue moon. Just gonna say that out loud. I'm not taking it back. Don't like Boston, just not my place. But I remember getting my first true apartment by myself, And the landlord guy scared me to either. That's what he scared me. He said I was an ex gangster, and I found God, and I'm a preacher. So the first thing he said to me was, "Hey, and I'm a Christian, I'm just having to be honest with you guys, with everybody. Whenever I hear I am a Christian, it's not to say that I don't believe that you are a Christian. I feel like if you're really going to be that, can that action show versus just happen to tell me, because I should be able to identify with who you are or what that thing is within you. And it's not even necessarily that you must be Christian. I don't think that many Buddhists or Hindu or whatever, or Muslim people, I don't think I think that we get so supreme on this thing and we everybody else out. And that scares me, honestly. That's what scares me to not say commit to this thing called Christianity. So I'm saying this out loud. And no, I'm not saying that I'm not a Christian, but I am saying that I have this notion of saying, I believe God is God, and that's enough for me. And people say, well, did you read? I just told you all earlier. I can't quote the scriptures like y'all do. I'm just a soul who believes in being good and kind and giving my heart to people and also being at a place of understanding to be silent and hush my mouth and look, listen, and learn. So in the first segment when we were talking, you said, Cleve, you're kind of back there. You're not saying much. I'm like, I'm soaking this stuff in. I'm getting wisdom here. I'm listening to people who've gone through, and I'm going through myself too, so let's be clear. But I'm listening to people who went through different journeys. And so I can gravitate to that thing and say, okay, does this part work for me? Or have I been through this? If anything, you all are selling me to a place that say, Cleve, listen, I've been through. We got the history. We can tell you what happened, how this may go. It may not be the same for my life, but it's good to sometimes just hush your mouth, listen sometimes. And that's why sometimes I don't get too caught into a lot of doctrines, if you will, because my confusion came into, since we're being transparent, my confusion came so much into like, wait a minute, why do we have Baptist and Methodist and Presbyterian, Lutheran, and all these different, Pentecostal, apostolic faith, whatever it is, all these things kept popping up, kept thinking, okay, but there's supposed to be this one God, so now I'm a little confused. And then this same God is supposed to make me feel bad about, and I'm going to go into your conversation, Brian, about masturbation. And I'm thinking, well, wait a minute. So my body was created for me to, live, love, I guess, whatever it is, enjoy it, because I just can't wrap my head around basically that masturbation is a bad thing for you. I don't think it's a bad thing at all. I think that, and first of all, if anything, it's kind of saving you from some other things, if you get me. I don't know. I guess in your own private place, do what you do, and what you don't do is your business. And if you want to be transparent about it, talk about it. But I just feel that, I don't know. I feel like we're in so much bondage based on religion. And that's something I tend to stray away from because I was so that person. So I'm speaking in a space of experience where I was devout. I was judgmental. I said things to people that I love so dearly to hurt them in the name of Christ, which is what, if you look at a lot of things that's going on now, if you look at racism, even in Ephesians, I don't know much about it, but I know in Ephesians, it does say, slaves obey your masters. Go look it up. It's in there. It's in the book of Ephesians. And people will take those things and make them into or construe it into what they want it to be, and they will live by those rulings. And that's why you do have a lot of racial divide as far as concerned, because they were told that, so they were, if say black people came over to America and they were sold in as slaves and you have these white masters, quote unquote, then and the Bible itself states this thing, it seems like something is quite off. Something should be off, and to me in the black mind, something should be a little bit off in that. To say the word is the word. Yeah. I think there's some wiggle room there. But that's me. As Cleveland, and again, I'm on a journey. I'm 45. I'm learning. I'm listening to the wisdom of you all, and I'm so grateful to be a part of this. And again, I'm not a baby in this situation, but I listen to these conversations. And it's like, wow, okay, Cleve, you think you went through. So I'm looking at this, and so I admire you, Brian. I admire you, James, and you, Angel, and anyone else that's listening for just being open and honest with yourself, but just make sure you take some time to look in the mirror at yourself and just say, face yourself and say, okay, am I really okay with myself? Work on that thing first. Work on that being enough for yourself first before you go out looking for all these other things, because you can constantly run into these traps. Because, again, I was stuck with this one person. My stuck was me choosing to be stuck because I was afraid to step out into the water, because I was like, I don't know. I don't feel like experiencing some more with nobody else because, this girl had my heart like no one has ever would. And then something said, clean, but that's because you chose to stay there. So I'm amazing. And what I'm saying, when I say that not in a cocky way, I'm amazing. I'm a gift. God bless me to be here. God bless me to be a part of this panel. And I have to realize that you are worthy of love, and your love will come. But I'm not desperate for it. So when it shows up, it's going to show up. I am not on a search. So that's my transparency moment. I'm off my soapbox. Thank you all so much for listening.
Oh, good, my boy.
Authentically, Cleveland Jones. I mean, I'm just saying, be you, be free, wherever it is, whatever you're doing, just be okay with yourself and what you got to shift it, you know. But don't beat yourself up so much. Don't forget to pat yourself on the back. That's all.
Right.
Okay.
My brother, that's deep, my brother. Yes, sir.
Brilliant. Now, Brian, you said you had to share real briefly. Because I want St. James to say something before we go off of here. What happened? You were saying something had went on, that a lot of this stuff was going on. So you want to share that?
Yeah. Real brief. So to correlate with what my brother Cleveland was just saying, the masturbation thing entering into an unrighteous agreement due to the fact that it's attached to the spirit of perversion. And I had to learn later on as a intercessor and warfare prayer warrior, and the warfare that I deal with on a daily, dealing with lust, I understand that God helped me to understand that, you know, there are gateways and portals on our body. And that's one of our gateways. That's one. So therefore, that's why the scripture says that God killed the man who allowed his semen to, you know, enter onto the ground, you know, in the Old Testament. So when you masturbate, you are entering an unrighteous agreement by self-pleasing yourself, you know, to the point of, you know, an orgasm, you know, that's attached to the spirit of perversion. Therefore, you have entered an unrighteous agreement which grants legal right to the adversary to invade your life. So that's really the main reason why it's a quote-unquote bad thing, you know, even though it's not spoken about in the Word of God. But nevertheless, you know, I was molested as a child. And I totally agree about what you were saying pertaining to the church, because I was molested in a church, a Baptist church. As a child. You know what I'm saying?
That's ridiculous.
So I understand where you're coming from, brother, you know, because I've been through a lot of things, you know, and, you know, but now I can't say that all churches are bad. You know, I won't put all churches under one umbrella.
Right.
There are a lot of bad churches that makes the good ones look bad. You see what I'm saying? So I understand what you're saying. You know, from my own personal experience, you know what I mean? And I was molested by a man and a woman at the age of like 6, 7 years old. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, it's crazy. You know, yeah. But see, my God, he's a healer. He's a deliverer. He doesn't halfway do anything. You know what I'm saying? He made me whole. He made me whole. You know what I'm saying? And a lot of men won't speak about that because they're ashamed of him. You know what I mean?
Right.
That's part of the reason why I ran through a lot of women also to convince myself that I was not gay or homosexual, even though I didn't have to do that. That's what I thought I had to do. You see what I'm saying? Until God finally delivered me, set me free. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah.
Wow.
First of all, I give you complete mad heads up, hats off, everything. And I mean, even myself, I was totally – I repressed it for at least 30-something years. I was as well molested. And, again, this is not a thing that I consider – that's not small. So, and I'm going to say to you, I'm sorry on behalf of the things that did happen to you, because the thing is that when you – we're so busy trying to prove our manhood. And in the end, you know, we end up hurting so many people in the process. And here you are now being both honest, but – and again, we can totally agree to disagree about saying the spirit of perversion. I feel like that there's stimulating glands that was placed on your body for you to feel certain things, and I believe that they're there for a purpose. So again, I can see what you're saying, but I can't say I subscribe to it, and it's okay to agree to disagree on that. I feel like, you know, by all means, if you do need to pleasure yourself, then you should. I feel like you deprive yourself, because if I'm going to base it on a biblical thing, then I guess there will be no more, nobody would have kids unless you just, or you just only have sex, period, only if you're married. If it was just based on that one thing, that's all you'd be doing. You know,
okay,
I get it. So, I commend you for that. But that's not Cleveland's story. But, again, I respect all that you're saying.
Amen.
You know what, Cleveland? That's what I love about y'all men tonight. It, like you said, we all, everybody not going to agree. But that's what we call transparency. And this show here, I'm going to tell you something. This here tonight, I think this is one of the best shows. I'm serious. That's airing around the world. We thought the part one and part two was something. I think y'all put the cherry on the top and some more, you know, items on the whipped cream here for real tonight. This is awesome. That's what it's about. Nobody has to agree. Nobody has to argue, none of that. That's why we call it transparency. We said the raw truth of the day-to-day issues. And these things that you all discussed tonight, this is day-to-day issues. These are things that have happened, is happening now, things that may be still going on some years later. You know what I'm saying? And so, but the main thing about this is y'all are overcomers. That's the good thing. It didn't keep you at a place. Whatever you went through, you overcame, Cleveland. Everything you went through, St. James, but you overcame. Everything you went through, Brian, you overcame. Everything I went through, those that's listening in around the world, we done been through some stuff. You know, it may not be the same thing. It may have been different things, but we have been through stuff. But look at us now. We're able to come on a platform that we've been blessed with to be heard around the world to talk about things that we battle with, things we have went through, things that we came out of, things that we still going through today. You know what I'm saying? But at the end of the day, we can do this in love. We come together in unity tonight as, you know, brothers and a sister, you know what I'm saying, and to just let it out about things that we went through. And with these type of shows, it is and will make a difference around the world. People need to hear these things, because a lot of things we done laid out on the table tonight, some people would be putting their fingers up to their mouth and hiding under the table somewhere, you know, looking around their shoulders like, oh, my God.
They're still going to do it. Even if
they are.
They're on this. Yeah.
True, too. Yeah. But then there are some people that feels like, wow, they can say that and they feel that way.
Yeah.
I'm not the only one. You know what I'm saying? Because some people feel like they're the only ones going through. They're the only ones went through this. They're the only ones going through. And that's not true. It's just everybody just don't come out and speak their testimonies of their past and, you know, what they went through and what they're going through now. Some people are ashamed and they just want to keep it hush-hush. You know what I'm saying? And I feel the best therapy is to talk about it, you know, to get it off your chest and to look back on your past. Nothing wrong with that. And see, like, wow, I went through all this hell, and I went through this, and I did this, and I did that. But look at me now. I'm not perfect, no. But I'm not that hot mess that I used to be, you know.
That's right.
And I mean, I feel I was a hot mess, but, you know, but I thank God that even with the stuff that I did, it still made me to be who I am today. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
It made me stand who I am today. And I'm so grateful for that. I don't regret nothing, you know, that I did. I'm grateful today, you know, and I'm honored that I was blessed to even have a radio station around the world where we can talk about things like this, you know?
Amen.
And so,
Amen.
In saying that, we're going to wire it down because this is like the end. I cannot, oh my God, I'm telling you, this is just awesome. I believe I'm going to have some good rest tonight. I've been dealing with these allergies and all that, but this here tonight, this is definitely a ratings of a 10 and up. And I just thank God for you, Brian, St. James, and Cleveland for even being on. I mean, to take your time to be with me. This is like a two-hour show, you know what I'm saying, so to speak. In between the break, it's a two-hour show. But I just thank God that y'all took out of your schedules to be a part of this great transparency show. So, and I definitely want to have y'all back on soon, because guess what we're going to talk about next time? It ain't going to be the transparency show. We're going to talk about this great music that y'all got going on around the world.
Amen, the music.
Yes,
amen,
so that's going to be the next show. That's the next show that I want to have y'all on very soon. I will keep y'all posted about it, you know, where we
okay.
can talk about the music. Yeah, how you got started and all of that. So that's going to be great.
That's
so in saying that, we got three more minutes. So I'm going to let, in these 3 minutes, let y'all say something to the people before we go off. What would you say for those that's listening in? What would you say, Brian? Whatever you want to say to the people to encourage them.
Amen. I would say be encouraged. First of all, trust God. Keep him first. You're talking, life and experience. I'm a guy that's been through a lot of things, and God brought me right out of it. You know, he healed and delivered me from it all. And I'm grateful today that I'm able to use my music ministry to uplift the kingdom of God. And he is blessing me tremendously. Even through this woman of God putting me on this platform is a blessing from God. So if you have a dream, a vision, or anything, you know, pursue it. Do it. You know, don't give up. Don't get discouraged. Trust God, you know. And I promise you, I'm a living witness. He'll do it.
All right. St. James.
I will say life is short, and that's relative, because our days are not his days. Our years are not his years. So in putting that in perspective, live each day as if it's your last. Be grateful for every breath you take. Forgive those that have trespassed against you. We talk about the Lord's Prayer, but we really don't analyze what that entails to forgive trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. So forgive those surrounding you that have wronged you to the point where you can't be free. A lot of us are in bondage to our own unforgiveness. So forgive.
Yeah.
That's the key to freedom and liberation, is forgiving yourself for the stuff you've been through, the things that you put yourself through and you allowed yourself to go through, and forgive those that put you through it or that you observe going through, you know, and that you have resentment to. Man, that stuff changes your whole life. So forgive and love and live your best life, because, you know, with this COVID stuff going on, tomorrow's not really promised the way it's looking. So enjoy life, man.
Yeah. That's right. All right. Cleveland, what would your word of encouragement?
Well, again, I'm just super excited to be a part of this panel. You guys are so amazing, every person's listening. If I could send a word of encouragement, or just a word just to be honest, is just say, whatever you're dealing with, feel it. Feel all of it. Go through it. I don't think that people should hide their feelings. I think that's what's been happening with a lot of us for so long. We've been pretending to be something else, or we're too afraid to let other people know that we're hurting too. Trust me, everybody's hurting. So go through the feelings, go through the emotions. I don't care how big, bad, small it is. Go through it. It's okay. And just don't forget to love on yourself some more. Like, literally, love on yourself some more. Be okay with you. Work on being okay with you. And I think that's a big thing that most of us fight with sometimes. And I just want to say, you know, big loves and hugs to everybody, you know. But like he just said, life is short. Live it to the fullest.
Yeah.
You know, not even based on COVID. Just, it could just be walking out the door and this is it, you know. Or just
your house. Real talk.
We constantly assume our tomorrows, and what we need to do is say, okay, if this is what you can do today, do as much as you can. I'll give you one little quick pointer, something that I do, and I don't do it every day, but I get excited when I do get it done, and that is that I'm pretty much an early bird person. I'm up pretty early in the mornings, around 5, 6 o'clock in the morning, just by nature, just naturally up. I try to get as much done before 12 noon. I'll give myself a little small list. And I feel so well achieved. I don't care if it was to wash the dishes or wash the laundry or send an email or take care of things.
I really try to give myself, hey, by 12 noon, because I feel like after 12 noon I can rest, because the day seems to go so fast after 12 noon. I don't know why. Again, that's just my personal walk-in story. But but I would say get up a little earlier and enjoy yourself. Take those deep breaths. Sit down, meditate sometimes, alone time with yourself, centering yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And talk, you know, because when you're talking to yourself, and this is something that may be blasphemous to most, but this is just, I believe that when you talk to yourself, you're talking to God. I think that you're really having a moment with God when you really look within self and have that conversation, or when you're privately walking through your house and say, Cleveland, don't do that, and you answer yourself, say, I won't. And people say you're crazy, but the thing is, who says that that's not the Creator talking to you? You don't know. So the thing is this, continue to live, be where you are, and know you're not crazy. It's just that this is your story, this is your walk, your journey, and let those who judge, let them judge, but you keep moving forward. So that's all.
Amen.
Wow. Awesome.
I receive it. Go ahead, baby.
I know that's right. Well, I am so excited on this tonight. I'm so excited, and we just thank God for everybody that have tuned in on tonight to this great transparency show. We are so happy for all of our listeners that have listened in around the world to this great show. And these are more shows that you're going to be hearing each week. We ask you to tune in on every Friday to the transparency, the raw truth, nothing but the raw truth of our day-to-day lives. And so in saying that, we want to say God bless to all of our guests today that was on. Love you all very much. Love you all for tuning in. Tune in on tomorrow, Saturday, for our great show of our best, I want to say the best and the hottest hip-hop and love music. And always remember, don't live good to thy bad, but live good to thy great in Christ Jesus. Always know that God, that angel on deck love you, but God loves you more. Have a good one, y'all.